We are super glad for the privilege of being together, and we started a new series last week. It's just called At the Table. And so obviously we've got a table that we're using as a focal point. And so today we're going to be just talking about a different component. But last week we were just talking about how apprentices use their tables. And so one of the things I want to just talk to you openly about is for Lori and I don't know how your table is. I don't know what the size of your table, how many tables you have, but what we found as a young couple that in our house where our table was situated, it started looking like a bookshelf. It started looking like a drop-off point. It looked like a mail place for coming and going, incoming and outgoing mail. And so one of the things that we realized is that we needed to make some changes because the way that we had set our house up and the way that we were now using the table was beginning to affect things in our household. So, some of you, conversations, some of that's taking place right now for some of you. This is Evan Boone. Have you ever met Evan Boone?
Thank you.
Let's give Evan Boone a round of applause. There we go. There you go.
Yeah,
I'm there for you.
So, kind of like Tim mentioned, you know, we're talking about the table and Tim's talking about clutter. How many of you changed your meal setup last week? I know I definitely did. Tim got us thinking. We were thinking about our table and how we use it and intentionally. But it definitely got me stirring and thinking about like how the table just brings people together. Yep. Meal time at the table has been lost, and our culture has kind of gone another direction with meal time. I don't know about anybody else, but a lot of people I know, myself included, sometimes meals have turned into something centered around the television, you know, sitting on the couch, eating, playing on your cell phone, any of those things. And I think as a society, we've definitely lost the intentionality of what mealtime used to be for families. It used to be time to come together, tell stories, talk about things, remember things, and just find like joy together, spending time together at the table with this intimate time, sharing a meal together, which kind of brings everything out in everybody.
Absolutely. And one of the things Evan and I were talking about is it's not like we're necessarily doing things on purpose, but you think about, you know, you hear these phrases, well, I need to unwind, or I'm just trying to relax. And so what winds up happening is a natural place for us to deposit ourselves and allow our brain to just kind of unwind or go is in front of technology, whether it's a phone, whether it's a tablet, whether it's a giant screen takes up half the wall in your area. It's just easy to just bring the food in there. And we're not trying to throw stones like, oh, we're bad people. We're just trying to talk about the reality of how things have changed over the last years.
Yeah, I mean, like Tim saying, you know, the technology can be kind of mind-numbing. Are we building God's kingdom at all? Are we connecting with people in any kind of way through this device or in front of the TV? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we hear all through the Bible. And so we're going to talk a lot today that, you know, the meals have meaning is kind of what we were talking about this week.
Yep.
And how are we going to find meaning in meals?
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to find that quality time together, spending life together? So we kind of want to talk a little bit more about like the importance and dive into the history of meals throughout the Bible. Mm-hmm. In the Old Testament, especially, you know, the Jewish culture shared a lot of meals together throughout you know, the year. They had all these different celebrations and days of remembrance and just all these holidays that we know about that were centered around meals and time together and fellowship and just living life together and loving each other.
So when we were studying this week, our study team, as we were going through stuff, I don't know how you guys are, but have you ever noticed sometimes in conversation, somebody will just use a phrase in passing, but you just kind of catch it and you're like, whoa, that was powerful. It just kind of gets deposited in there like it was just meant to be there. And so as we were just talking through things and talking about all these different things about the intentionality, meals with meaning or meaningful meals was the phrase that was thrown out. And it just, man, we just all just kind of magnetically just went to that. And we started thinking about that and started talking about that, that it's so easy for us in a rushed, hurried, busy society to just make meals about food intake. And so it can become about food with the primary focus on just food. And I'm not saying that food's not important. Food's a good thing. But at the same time, we began to look, pan back and look at from Genesis to Revelation that God was very intentional because he knew us as human beings. So even when he was dealing with the nation of Israel, he understood the importance of these meals taking on specific meanings, that there were specific details because meals have always had deep meaning if we will embrace them and slow down and make time to experience those things. So one of the things that we've been talking about as an apprentice that's learning to follow in the ways of Jesus is that one of the things that we have to embrace is the intentionality of our pursuit of Christ. And so as we are learning the ways of Christ, what that means is we don't just necessarily stumble in or accidentally, but we are very intentional with our own faith and what we're doing. And so part of the reason why we're talking about the table the way we are is because we see that there has become a stark difference between what we study in the Word and what God says about the table and how the table is supposed to be a tool versus the way we approach things today. Food is not necessarily the primary focus at the table. There are other things. When you are intentional, the table takes on a whole new meaning. And so I've asked Evan this morning, because when you think about where we are and we're leading into the celebration of the resurrection, we're looking at Easter Sunday next Sunday. So what we are talking about this morning is obviously we're going to look at the Lord's table. And there was this huge transition between the old and the new. And we're going to read Mark chapter 14 in just a little bit. But I wanted Evan to just kind of highlight, because some of you, you're not familiar. Some of you are very familiar with Passover, with you, you're familiar with some of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But I want Evan to just help us remember and kind of jumpstart our minds or to think about the importance and the meaning of some of these meals.
So yeah, so like Tim's saying, you know, kind of diving in deeper, you know, Chris and I were talking this week about it, and there's just so many special events and that were focused around the meal table, around the table. And starting with Passover, you know, it started, initiated in Exodus, this meal commemorates God's deliverance of Israel from Egypt's Egyptian slavery. The meal included lamb, unleavened bread, bitter herbs, representing the sacrifice, haste, and suffering of the Israelites.
So think about what Evan's saying. He's highlighting some of the key ingredients that were supposed to be part of the Passover meal, but each ingredient had a meaning to it. There was a reason for why God said, this is how we want you to remember. So this Passover meal had intrinsic value and had deep meaning.
Yeah, I mean, the Passover meal is called the Seder. It was really fun this week talking to Chris about it, because Chris kind of like nerded out about the Seder meal and talking about he's going to do this with his family and stand up there. And I was joking he's going to wear a robe and stuff like that and like pray with his family and do these special like rituals that go along with it. But it's like Tim's saying, it had a meaning behind it. It had purpose behind it. And so the Seder meal is a central part of the holiday, remembering the story of the Israelites' Exodus The Seder meal is very specific in order and rituals, the food that they eat, the prayer time, and allowing individuals to connect on and remember and appreciate their freedom. The key part of this meal is storytelling and remembrance.
Hmm.
I was telling Tim earlier this morning, what a concept that we've lost in our culture. Like, I am fortunate enough, I do remember grandparents and family members sitting around the table telling stories and remembering good times and laughing and loving and having these great times together. And it's like now, you know, 20 years later or whatever, we think about that and it's kind of foreign. It's not a common thing in our culture. And it's clear right here with the Passover meal, that was the biggest deal to them, is to sit there and tell stories of remembrance and tell about old times and tell about times of trials and how God blessed them and loved them and just saved them.
Yep, absolutely. And when you think about what he's saying, when we celebrate communion or the Lord's table, what are we told that, what is the main reason that we celebrate the Lord's table? Remembrance. To remember our Lord until he comes. Do you see the connectivity between this Passover meal and what was taking place and how that we are to continue these meaningful meals together? So before we go on, turn to Mark chapter 14. We want to read verses 12 through 26, and we're going to read from the NLT this morning. I'd like for you to follow along with me. And I think that it's amazing that when you begin to look through the lens of the table, that there'll be so many passages that if you are opening yourself up to the Holy Spirit, will just jump out at you in a whole new way. Let's look at verse 12, Mark chapter 14 and verse 12. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, Jesus' disciples ask him. So they're very aware of these traditions, they're very aware of the importance. So it's at the forefront of their minds. So they're asking him, where do you want us to go to prepare the Passover meal for you? It's a legitimate question. So Jesus sent two of them into Jerusalem with these instructions. Now, can I ask you to not just read over this and just kind of blow through this, but stop and think about the humanity of what we're reading about. Picks out two people and says, hey, I need your help with this. But this is what I want you to focus on, the instructions or the lack of detail that he gives. This is what he says. As you go into the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. Some of you right now, you just think about this. He just says, go into town, and there's a guy with a pitcher of water. Follow him. some of us, what's the next thing? There's like 25 questions, like what color hair is he going to have? Do you know what color robe he's going to have? How tall is the guy? Where is he going to be walking from? What direction? What does the pitcher look like? Do you really want me to just follow him at that point? When do I start following? You know how we can be. It's like, come on. Simple instructions. Look at the beauty of what takes place here. At the house he enters, say to the owner. So follow him to the house. Say to the owner of the house. The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare our meal. So the two disciples went into the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. Brothers and sisters, may I just encourage you? There is great joy to be experienced in our lives when Jesus gives us a simple promise, as we sang about, a simple instruction, a simple directive, and when we just take steps of faith. Maybe we're scared to death. Maybe we're terrified. But we take that step of faith, and then our Lord meets us there and does amazing things. That's what he's trying to do. Just like what he did here, he's still at work in our lives in the same way. Look at what it says. In the evening, Jesus arrived with the 12. And as they were at the table eating, Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth. one of you eating with me here will betray me. Greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, am I the one? He replied, it is one of you 12 who is eating from this bowl with me. For the Son of Man must die, as the scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would have been far better for that man if he were never been born. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and he blessed it. Now, I hope that you can see the transition between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant represented here, because we're talking about them sharing the Passover meal. They had prepared the Passover meal. So now in the middle of, they're dining at a table. Now, it's a little bit different than our table. We use tables and chairs, but they're dining. And as they are sharing this meal together, this Passover meal, there's something that begins anew that takes place. Jesus took some bread and he blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take it, for this is my body. And he took a cup of wine and he gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for many. I tell you the truth, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Then they sang a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. All of this interaction is taking place around the table. Now, this is what one of the things that we want you to consider, the power of the scripture in this record, this narrative. I mean, we're not in any shape, form, or fashion, we're not going to be able to answer all or look at all the different details, but we do want you to consider all the different aspects of what took place around the table in this upper room in this specific time. For me, when we were studying this week, what's beautiful about when we study together, we have all these different perspectives, all these different backgrounds, all these different personalities, all these different lenses. So sometimes when we're studying together, when we get done, we're like more mind blown and kind of lost trying to wade through all the different stuff that comes out. For me, one of the things that I have been blown away about is that at this table, Jesus lived out everything he taught about this upside down kingdom. Can you imagine sitting down to share a meal, which is going to be probably your last meal? And one of the guys sitting at the table, you already know he's going to stab you in the back. He's going to betray you. He's going to turn against you. He's going to hang you out to dry. And not only that, if you go back and read one of the other accounts, Jesus is not only sharing a meal with that man, he washed his feet before they ever sat down to have the meal. Some powerful consideration about the power of how God has meaning for the meals and he wants to use the table. Now, I've asked Evan, we're just going to give you a quick overview, but there's so many other of the major Jewish remembrances and traditions and holidays. I want him to just give you a quick idea. Maybe it'll get some of you interested and you'll study a little bit more, but there's two of them mentioned here. It talks about the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover. What are some others, Evan?
So yeah, Tim spoke about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Following Passover, it's a week-long feast emphasizing the purity and haste of leaving Egypt, banning leaven as a symbol of sin. Mm-hmm. Kind of an interesting fact about this is by consuming unleavened bread, the Israelites and later the Christians are reminded of God's remembrance from slavery and the need for continued vigilance against sin in our lives.
Absolutely.
This is kind of an interesting fact. You know, my wife and I were talking about this last night, and she threw out this fact that I really never knew. And for the bakers in the room, you'll know this, but it just really hit me. The fact about yeast is that it permeates through bread. It spreads through the bread. It changes it. And I never really thought about this part of this where that's what sin does in our lives to our body. It moves into. So it brings this whole new meaning to this Passover meal that Tim and I are talking about unleavened bread, because it reminds me that that sin, if we're not careful and we don't remind ourselves, can just permeate through
absolutely.
Us. And it can change us.
Absolutely.
Followed by that is the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, celebrated 7 weeks after Passover. Feast of Tabernacles. This is a joyful festival lasting 7 days, giving thanks to the harvest. Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, marks the beginning of the civil year. Mm-hmm. The Day of Atonement, the most solemn day, focusing on the atonement and repentance with fasting and as a central practice. So these biblical holidays and celebrations are symbolic in so many ways in their lives. And kind of what we're trying to get everybody to think about is just, how have we lost that? How have we lost putting meaning behind meals?
Yeah.
These times of remembering what Christ did, came and did for each and every one of us. You know, a lot of these things we're talking about are Old Testament kind of celebrations, but many of them later translate into the New Testament and the lives that these men were living in, Acts and other things. And so we're trying to dig deeper into, how do we bring meaning to the table? How do we become self-sacrificing by inviting someone into our home, cooking them a meal, being intentional with the time talking to them, living life with them, telling stories, laughing, finding joy together as God's people, trying to make it through this world?
Absolutely. One of the things that we've been talking about, and maybe you've experienced this, we've made following Christ, we've almost made it something that's not supposed to be. We've made it this religious thing where it's supposed to be a lifestyle. And what better place to experience the reality of a lifestyle than just around the table together? It's not about, okay, what we're doing here today is a beautiful thing where we come together for worship and we're trying to lift up the Lord. But if we come together here, and some of you are restricted in your mind to where this is your religious experience for the week, that's not the point of being an apprentice, a Christ follower, being one of his children. What it means is that we're encouraged, we're blessed, we use this as an opportunity for our spirits to be enriched. But this evening, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, is where it should just be a natural flow of our growing faith and our understanding of him. We're supposed to just be with Jesus 24/7. Here's the thing. We are limited in our opportunities to worship together. But think about how we eat meals every day. And to reevaluate the table as an even more meaningful place of fellowship and connection and community and conversation and encouragement, maybe confrontation. What a beautiful opportunity for the table to actually become an experience of worship and an experience of faith, grace, and mercy. Does that make sense? Because the table is just a very natural place to be. It's a very natural process or experience. And then what it should be is us to be able to see it as simply a tool to develop us and be part of God's plan.
What if we can take something so simple in our minds, it's so simple to have a meal.
Yep.
And we can make it something that changes people's lives. We can spend time together. We can be intentional with our time together in something, like Tim said, that we just kind of do mundane over and over again. What if we find meaning in that that's much bigger
Absolutely.
Than just sustenance?
Deeply spiritual.
John Piper said, the purpose of the Last Supper was to receive from Christ the nourishment and strength and hope and joy that comes from feasting our souls on all that he purchased for us on the cross, especially his fellowship. What would meals around the table look like if our prayers focused on what we just heard from John Piper? What if we prayed thanking God for fellowship, the feasting, and what he did on the cross for all of us? What if we invited people into our homes, letting them hear that and see that lived out in our lives every day? Jesus was very intentional about that meal, what he did. He gave specific instructions to those disciples what to do. He knew exactly what he was going to do that evening.
Mm-hmm.
What if we tried to live out our time together that same way?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are we bringing meaning to meals? That's kind of the question we're all asking. We're talking about today. Are we bringing others to the table, no matter what their background is, if they're in our friend group or anything like that, but we're inviting them as in our home as a sign of like self-sacrifice, being open and planting that seed that we all want to do? Are we living life together, sharing each other's burdens, and taking that time to sit around and talk and tell stories to each other?
Yep.
We're using the symbolism of the table, but this can happen in all aspects of our life.
Absolutely.
You know, just living life together, sharing things with people. But the symbolism of bringing someone into your home, preparing a meal, sacrificing your time for them, setting at a table to put you all on the same level like Jesus did.
Absolutely. Hey, Jameson, can you come up here? So we can, Jameson and I can have a conversation like this, and I can ask him, and we can talk, and I can ask him to catch me up on how his life is going and how long you've been doing that beautiful hair on your face, and, you know, how you're trimming that. Okay, Mom wants it trimmed. I love it.
Not,
I love it.
Not trimming it.
Yeah, good. Good. That's good. So we can have an interaction standing up, but if I invite Jameson, have a seat, man. Sit down with me. Hey, Elijah, come over here.
Good to see you. Yeah.
Elijah, do you know Jameson? Have you met Jameson before?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. So, all right, did you have anything? Hey, we got some food here. We got some of my leftover coffee, but I've got fresh water here. Okay. So this is what I just want you to see as we wrap things up this morning. There is something very naturally disarming and relaxing about just sitting down at the table. About just sitting down and sharing and getting to know each other. Like, how long have you been married now?
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't that awesome? That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. How long have you been married? Oh, you're not married? No? Okay, good. All right. You interested in getting married? Oh, no, we can't ask those questions. Anyway, so are you embarrassed now?
He's turning pretty red right here.
He's shoving that donut in his mouth like, okay, the more I eat, the less I have to talk, all right?
It's unlikely you're coming back for donuts again.
That's good. So this is all we're trying to show you and just demonstrate that there is more of a beauty and more of a simple spiritual connectivity than what most of us either understand or we press into experience together. When I sit down with Jameson and Elijah didn't know each other, you know, it just becomes so much more natural for us to just have conversation. And like we said, it's not that food's not important. Elijah's doing a great job representing.
Are you still hungry?
I am so uncomfortable right now, but if I keep eating, my nerves will be calm.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. But
as long as your mouth's full, you don't have to talk.
That's good. Well, what would happen? Can I ask you this? What would happen if just half the people within the sound of my voice this morning, this week, would be intentional and create spiritual meaning around the table, whatever that looks like? Maybe a table is one of those small tables at Subway, and maybe it's, I don't know what it would look like, but can you imagine if half the people within the sound of our voice this morning, this week, would create space at a table and invite someone in simply for the purpose of connection, encouragement, and just as a way to love on them. Some of the people that you might invite, they're going to be sitting there the whole time trying to figure out what's your agenda. Wouldn't it be life-altering and refreshing for you to just be able to look at them and say, I just wanted to spend time with you and get to know you. You don't want anything from me? Just information. Just you. The power of that, I believe that if that were to take place this week, can you imagine the ripple effect across this region? The mind-boggling love of God being proclaimed in purity, not within a building set apart for religious duties, but simply at a table, the way that our Lord lived his life. And we talked about it last week in the book of Acts. That was the power of the church, because there was a temple for worship, but they were just hanging out together every day throughout the day, sharing food with each other, breaking bread, and just being blessed and encouraged. That was church. It wasn't a building. It was this active, vibrant family. And so what we're trying to challenge all of us to consider is the meaning, the deep spiritual impact, the meaning of meals together. Just being able to be together. I got to ask, since you're sitting up here, what year's your truck?
1975.
Driving a 1975 F-100. Are you willing to sell it? Okay. I just thought I'd ask. He got relaxed a little bit. I thought I would just slide that in there, okay?
But this is what we're talking about. This is simple conversation that brings encouragement to me, and hopefully is bringing encouragement to other people living life together.
Absolutely. I've learned when I have Evan over at the house. What I love is based on is whatever's going on in the day. I'm like, hey man, all I got is eggs and bread. So guess what? He helps cook eggs and we toast bread. There you go. See? I learned something about Jamie saying, ain't nothing wrong with the egg sandwich. Pound it, brother. Yeah, the food's important for nourishment, but it's more about our time together. It's about getting to know each other. It's about spending time together. So this morning, we're looking at the Passover meal with Jesus. We get a glimpse into the old covenant being transformed into the new covenant, which was proclaimed powerfully, what we're going to celebrate next Sunday with the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Putting a name on each and every person that's here, stamping your validity that you are that important that Christ would die for you back then for us in the future. It's really a simple, profound, beautiful message. And can I just say, one of the greatest places to share that message of hope and redemption, we have the privilege of meeting together. Can I present to some of you that the more powerful presentation is naturally sitting around a table and you making the meal even more meaningful than what most of us realize. So, Father, we're asking that you would open our hearts, open our minds, open our souls to you. Father, I thank you for all of the illustrations. I thank you that there is going to be a feast around a table in heaven called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Yeshua, our Savior and Lord, our Redeemer. And Father, I just want to say thank you. And I ask that you would use these principles to transform our daily lives. Father, that we would invite you to our table, that you would be the one that receives the honor and the glory for everything that we get to experience and for just the abundance of food, but more so that we can share your love through a simple meal and a simple invitation. So we're asking that you would help us this morning, that you would change our lives. God, that you would use us to bring hope and light and love to this region, that our tables would be more intentional, and that by your grace that they would have greater meaning. So, Father, do in us what you want to do, and help us to believe in you. Father, you know the person that's here today, that they don't really believe that you know their name, and you know what's going on in their lives. And ask that that tapping, that tug, that moving of your spirit within them, that they would realize that you do love them, that they would believe in your love and receive your love through Jesus. Oh God, we're asking you to do great, mighty things. Because of our Savior, we ask and believe. Amen. Would you stand with us?